It's been nearly a year since lawmakers in Madison passed a state budget that included $250 million in cuts and lapses for the state's University of Wisconsin system. Today, during the next hour, we'll be joined by three chancellors from Western Wisconsin, our four-year campuses, to find out how that cut 1 year ago has trickled down to their balance sheets and what it means for students, faculty, staff, and administration alike. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. Joining me in studio, we've got two guests and one on the phone. First, I'd like to introduce UW-River Falls Chancellor Dean Van Gallen. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Good to be with you. Thanks.
Good to have you here. Also joining us in studio is UW-Eau Claire Chancellor Jim Schmidt. Jim, welcome back.
Good morning, Rich.
And also on the phone, we've got UW-Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer. Bob Meyer, thanks so much for being on the program with us.
Good morning, Rich. Great to be here. Thanks.
Great to have you. Listeners, we want to hear from you as well. If you've got any questions or comments for the chancellors, if you want to vent about the state budget, what local campuses are doing, let us know. 1-800-228-5615. The discussion is always better when we hear from the folks that are on the receiving end of it, whether it's students, parents of students, you name it. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-228-5615. You can also post on the West Side Facebook page. So let me just jump right into it. Last year, the state budget was passed, legislature passed, included in that a cut to the UW system that was around $250 million all told. That's a big number. It's hard for some to get their heads around what that actually means. So please, if you could, tell me what that means for your campus. I'll start with Dean Van Gallen.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do so, and I really appreciate the program today because I think it is important that the public understand the very real and serious impacts of these budget cuts. For the University of Wisconsin-River Falls, those cuts as part of the 2015-17 budget represented a $2.87 million base budget cut, meaning that that cut is ongoing. That's about an 11.2% reduction in our base state support. I think all the universities, much of their expenditures are hiring faculty and staff who do the important work of the university. And for us, because of the budget cuts, we had a reduction of 55 positions on campus, and we actually had 18 permanent layoffs and non-retention. So very much a human impact on the campus, but also a reduced capacity in many areas, human resources, financial aid. And it's certainly also impacting our ability to offer course choices. Our class sizes are significantly larger. And for us, that's a problem because many of our students, 43% are first-generation college students from small towns, dairy farms, different environments. And that personal attention that we offer at UW-River Falls is really important. So that's something we try to hang on to, but we're very concerned about.
Moving eastward, let's go to UW-Stout and Bob Meyer. What about the $250 million, the share bore by UW-Stout?
Thanks, Rich. Well, like Dean Van Gallen mentioned, our proportion of the cut was roughly 11% of our state allocation, our budget here at Stout. Our share of it was $5.3 million, and the way we chose to attack that is to try to take as much out of the administrative part of the house that we could, but as Dean pointed out, even when you do that, it still has an impact on students, and I want to mention, too, that it isn't just this budget cycle that's a concern. In our case at UW-Stout in the 2009-11 biennium, we were reduced almost $11 million. So that was almost twice as much as we were reduced in this biennium that we're in. Another $3 million in 2011-13. 13-15, that biennium, about $2.3 million. So the $5.3 million permanent base reduction that we're encountering now is on top of several reductions previously, and that exasperates the situation, as you might know. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, Chancellor Van Galen mentioned that he reduced his position count by 55. That's almost exactly what we eliminated here at UW-Stout, 55 and a half positions. We probably have about three more to come because one thing that was sort of delayed in terms of our reductions dealt with moving from a four-college model to a three-college model. That'll entail eliminating a dean, probably an associate dean position, perhaps some budget managers for the college. So we expect to have a few more reductions in workforce in addition to those. It certainly, as Chancellor Van Galen pointed out, had an impact on our operations. We eliminated somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 custodians, for example, so it's a little more difficult for us to navigate the cleanliness on campus, but some of the big challenges that we have are not keeping up, I think, with just our overall pay package right now. Our instructional academic staff and faculty are at about 79% of market, 79% of market, both of those categories. About 10 years ago, we were at about 95%, so you can see that we've really slipped on that, so we're having more difficulty with our searches. We've had in the neighborhood of a tripling of the number of searches that we've aborted because we're having difficulties making offers that people will accept. So those things are bedeviling us a little bit. And as Chancellor Van Galen pointed out, we have also increased our class sizes and tried to economize on that by having less sections available, but larger seat sizes, if you will, in each section. Also, along with that, we're looking at increases in workload. So that's how we're navigating the cut. It's having a significant impact. I think looking forward, if the university system sustains another budget cut like this, we're going to see some closures probably of programs and some very significant impacts on students after this.
And Chancellor Meyer brings up a good point that these cuts, it's not specific to one party, although the last state budget, it was definitely one party that were pushing them. But overall, and both sides of the aisles have been cutting higher education for decades. Jim Schmidt at UW-Eau Claire, I think it was, there was a fact sheet that came out, 179 full-time equivalent positions reduced at the campus. So guide us through what the cuts are looking like at UW-Eau Claire.
It really has been a decades-long reduction, and frankly, it's happened all across the country, and it's one of the great pieces of, I think, tragedy for the American dream. Back in the early 80s, the states of Wisconsin and Minnesota used to pick up about 70% of the cost of students going to school. We were public institutions. Today at UW-Eau Claire, after this latest round of cuts, the state's picking up about 20%. And that means philanthropy and students and parents are picking up the other 80%. The UW system has been cut $1.03 billion since the 2003 legislative cycle. So it's been a bipartisan effort. It's been coupled during the last two bienniums with a tuition freeze, which seems like a good idea. You know, who doesn't like something that's free? Well, the fact is, when students and parents are covering the cost, that has a direct impact on quality. One of the big things I've pointed out is, in addition to all the cuts these institutions have taken, if we've had to reduce the number of courses available, sometimes students end up sticking around a fifth year. And so they may have saved, you know, if we'd had a modest tuition increase of, say, 3% a year, it would have raised costs by about $250 a year. So $1,000 over a four-year period. That's significant. Mm-hmm. But if, because of these cuts and the tuition freeze, we don't have the courses students need, then they often spend a whole year for tuition, which is $8,800 a year. And then there's the very real opportunity cost of not being in the workforce. Our average Blue Gold earns $44,000 a year walking out the door. And so that's a real cost. So I tell students that fifth year really costs them over $50,000. We're really working on the four-year graduation rates. I think that's important. To the state of Wisconsin, it's a bit penny-wise, pound-foolish, because that's $44,000 in income that's not having income taxes assessed on it. That means the companies that they're working for aren't having that income
that they would have through that economic growth. So I think it's important we take a look at the long-term financial health of the state. So for UW-Claire, the reduction was 16% of our state appropriation. And not all of our state appropriation we have flexibility over. Our fringe benefit costs and utilities are pass-throughs, so I can't cut those accounts. So in terms of my allocable general fund, the $7.7 million taken this past year represented really 26% of my allocable general fund. 179 full-time positions eliminated. We reduced administration permanently by 25%. We cut 20% out of all of our administrative support staff, our student services, our accounting services, and 25% out of facilities. I've really taken all the rabbits out of the hat. I don't have any other tricks to have this go well. Like some of the other chancellors have said, any further reductions are going to be lobbing off whole sections of our institutions. And frankly, I think the system's going to have to take a careful look. Can we afford to have all of the institutions we have? Now, I'm not proposing that, but the facts are the facts. Even while we tried to do everything we could to try to protect the core student experience, we still lost 69 full-time equivalent instructors from our classrooms. Class sizes are increasing, and frankly, it's becoming tougher to attract really good faculty to the state of Wisconsin. One thing I want to make really clear, this is not a problem in our business model. All of my colleagues, my chancellor colleagues, can find people to stand in front of a classroom, lecture, give tests, assign grades. You can find people to do that. What has set the UW system aside from Minnesota and other systems is the amazing quality and excellence. You're looking for people who can help students transform their lives. You're looking for inspirational guides for our young people to really set them up for a future success. And that quality is at the heart of it, which is why I would say the cuts that have been happening over the last decade, we won't feel the full impact for 4 or 5 years. We've had 25 faculty members resign this year to take other jobs in other states, making a lot more money, so it's a good move for them. But it's a real loss for the state of Wisconsin. That's a 150% increase over the year before. And that's really our canary in the mine shaft, is the quality of the faculty staff of our institutions.
1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We're talking about how $250 million in cuts to the UW system as a whole has trickled down to local campuses in western Wisconsin. Those campuses in our listening area are UW River Falls, UW Stout, and UW Eau Claire. Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615 if you'd like to offer a comment or if you've got a question for the chancellors. First, we'll go to Willem in Colfax. Willem, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, I just think that these cuts represent a mentality that I think is really misguided. In the first place, they're using this the issue of tenure as a device to other people in other fields, like you don't have lifetime protection for your job and all that. But that's not even what it's about. Freethinkers, German freethinkers, and other people that founded this state enacted tenure into the state constitution because of the importance of the idea of intellectual freedom, and that's what it's about. You can always fire, under the old rules, an incompetent professor or someone that wasn't doing their job, so that's not the issue. And then the loss of all these jobs and the prestige of the university, the jewel and the crown of Wisconsin, let's say, all those people's incomes are then taken out of the local economies where these universities sure. reside. And that ripples through small businesses, restaurants. Myself, I'm a craftsperson. I've noticed the difference since Act 10 took a lot of money out of our economy. This takes more money out of our economy.
All right.
And it hurts the brand, let's say, if you want to talk about economic. All this stuff hurts the brand of Wisconsin.
Gotcha, Willem. Thanks so much. The phone was a little staticky there, but we heard you loud and clear. We got the point. What about the tenure? I want to actually take a step back a little bit because some folks in Wisconsin have taken the actions of Governor Scott Walker, who proposed many of the cuts, and removing parts of the Wisconsin idea from state law. Also, the actions of the legislatures who have cut the millions and hundreds of millions from UW system budgets, abolished tenure protections from state law, and now it's in the hands of the Board of Regents. A lot of people have looked at this whole thing from like 1,000 feet, and they're saying that this is an open attack on the UW system, and I bet Willem would agree with that statement. Dean Van Gallen, what do you tell folks that believe that? Do you think higher education, specifically public higher education, is under attack in Wisconsin?
Well, I would say this. On one hand, as Chancellor Schmidt pointed out, the budget cuts have been going on for some time, but I am concerned about issues such as tenure and shared governance. As the caller pointed out, tenure is not a job for life. It's important in terms of protection of academic freedom and the free sharing of ideas and research.
If I can jump in, yes? Still, that's still hard for someone to understand. How, in practice, what would that mean? If someone's working on a project and it's controversial, it gives them protection?
Well, I'll give an example. Let's say you have a climate scientist who's doing research on the question of global warming, which, of course, is a very, in some minds, controversial mm-hmm. topic. I would argue, and academic freedom argues, that scientists should be free to pursue that research and pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And so there are areas where research can come in at odds, if you will, with certain political beliefs. And mm-hmm. I think that's a good example of the importance of academic freedom. You know, on the larger issue of the value of higher education, because I think if you step back, there are some really important larger questions here about what value does the state hold for higher education and education in general. You know, I grew up in this state, was also a first-generation college student. I think education is a core value of this state, and I think that it's time that we ask ourselves as a state, how important is education and what do we want our future to look like? And I think all of these budget cuts and you know, public discussions really raise that question. I believe that the future of this state is very much tied to the quality of education, pre-K, K-12, technical colleges, and higher ed. There's a lot of discussion about the value of a college degree. Chancellor Schmidt spoke, I think, eloquently about the transformational impact of higher education. But even in terms of an economic value, if you look at unemployment rates for last year nationally, bachelor's degree, people who held a bachelor's degree, 2.8%, high school diploma, 5.4%, less than a high school diploma, 8%. Earnings also significantly higher the more educational attainment. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that if you have a college degree, you're a better person or more worthy. But there is a connection between the degree of education and the economic future for individuals and this state. So it's both building citizens, educating people, and looking at the future of the state of Wisconsin.
1-800-228-5615. We've got wide open phone lines. You can also post on the Westside Facebook page if you've got questions or comments for the chancellors. I'm joined in studio by UW Chancellor Jim Schmidt. On the phone with us is UW Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer. And also in studio with us is UW River Falls Chancellor Dean Van Gallen. 800-228-5615. We'll be back with more Westside in just a bit.
Support for WPR comes from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. From childhood to elder health, UW-Madison and institutions across the state's 72 counties work together for an even stronger Wisconsin. More at boundlesstogether.org. Support also comes from Marshfield Clinic. In 1916, six physicians formed a group practice and named it after the community. 100 years later, Marshfield Clinic is proud to be serving the healthcare needs of Wisconsin for generations. MarshfieldClinic.org.
This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking today about how the state budget and its cut of $250 million to the UW system as a whole is impacting campuses right here in western Wisconsin. I'm talking about UW River Falls, UW Stout, and UW-Eau Claire. Also, many impacts to the UW Extension and UW Colleges. That's another program. That's another discussion. Right now, I'm joined by UW-River Falls Chancellor Dean Van Gallen, UW-Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer, and UW-Eau Claire Chancellor Jim Schmidt. Give us a call, 1-800-228-5615. Do you think the cuts are justified? Do you think that we need to do more with less? Or do you think that this is hurting education, higher education, that folks spend and invest a lot of money into in order to provide themselves a better future? 800-228-5615. I was very interested in the discussion about people having trouble recruiting and also having trouble keeping staff. Bob Meyer, we've heard that UW-Madison has spent upwards of, I think, $8 million to try to keep their treasure, their most prized faculty from going to other universities. Does UW-Stout have a fund balance like that for similar endeavors? And have you been losing people to universities in, say, Minnesota or other states?
That's a great question, Rich. We are experiencing that, first of all. All of the campuses are in different positions, I think, relative to the reserves. When I started as chancellor in August of 2016, our number relative to tuition reserves, it's typically the area where you have the most flexibility, was about $1.99 million, just about $2 million. We were on immediately put on the Higher Learning Commission, which accredits the institution on the watch list because our reserves were too low. And since then, I'm proud to say that we're one of the campuses in the system that had to put in a savings plan as opposed to a spending plan. So we've worked our balances up. That's good because every institution does need a cushion, as most businesses would have a reserve on hand, a cash reserve on hand. But ours is very, very low. So our degrees of freedom in terms of offering compensation packages is very limited. We did have some funds that were rebased by the system this past year. Stout share, that was just slightly north of $200,000 that we were able to put a very modest compensation package in. But again, as I mentioned, across our instructional staff, if we look at their salaries, the data that is nationally normed, we follow data that compares us to comparable institutions. And I often say I'm not comparing UW-Stout to Ohio State. I'm comparing UW-Stout to, say, Mankato State. Because they are of similar size and mission. We're just not competitive there. As I mentioned, our faculty and staff that are instructional are at about 78-79% of that norm data. So we are seeing some difficulties in hiring. For example, our successful search rate has gone from 94% to 82%. And that concerns me. When we were recruiting for our new provost, I'm happy to say we found an excellent provost in Patrick Guilfoyle in the last year. He's got about a year under his belt, a very challenging year, but he came from Bemidji State University in Minnesota. We had four other candidates in the pool. Two of them were from Minnesota, and one of them shared with me that the hiring strategy for their institution in Minnesota was to come to Wisconsin because the faculty and staff are excellent, and they're very affordable. In other words, they can make competitive offers that woo them over across the state line. And, of course, all the institutions that are on the phone or on the broadcast today, they're very close to the Minnesota border. So we have that competitive issue that we have as a challenge, and it's certainly been a challenge for us at UW-Stout.
And what about for UW-Eau Claire, Jim Schmidt? Do you have money set aside? Can you spend money to keep faculty that you don't want to lose?
No, it's an important question. And, you know, you've heard a lot about part of the reason why we were cut is the belief that we have stockpiles piles of unrestricted money sitting
almost
around
$1 billion in reserves.
Yeah, and in fact, they're not reserves. In the case of UW-Eau Claire, most of the resources that we had are towards pledged building projects, and they're all student fee dollars. I think many people realize that we have a housing shortage at UW-Eau Claire, and the shortage has existed since 1970. We were given permission by the legislature to build a new residence hall in 2013, and we're required to put a down payment towards that so we don't have to have student fees skyrocketing. We have funds set aside for the renovation of Towers Hall. And people look at that as though I can use those funds that students paid for housing to hire accounting professors, which we simply can't do. At the end of this year, the tuition account, reserves or otherwise, will be in red ink. So there is no fund for that. So any decision to try to meet a competing offer of a faculty member means, in essence, we're eliminating other positions on campus. Mm-hmm. We've already eliminated 179. That's 15% of our workforce. Most of the faculty who are getting other awards are also getting significant increases. The lowest that I'm aware of anecdotally is $30,000 to go to places like Notre Dame. Somehow Notre Dame's found us. They've hired three faculty in the last year and a little bit. Hmm. University of Texas, University of Michigan. So these are not going to Winona State University. These are faculty who are going to very prestigious institutions for $30,000 plus raise and a lighter teaching load. They're being given more flexibility of what they do. I got an email notifying me that one of our prized faculty members got a job offer that'll pay her almost double what she's being paid now. Mm-hmm. So there's no way that we can match those kind of offers. The provost has been making careful decisions to try to help out and keep some of them. But these are jewels. These are people that could have gone anywhere anyway. One of the wonderful things about the UW schools, I can certainly speak for Eau Claire, but I'm sure I'm speaking for the other chancellors as well. Great faculty members will come here early in their career to get established, get tenure, develop the track record with the idea that they'll move on. But they come to Wisconsin, they get to know our faculty and our students, and they fall in love. They decide these are great places to raise kids and other things, so they stay. And that's really what set UW's system apart, is we've got these great faculty members that can be teaching anywhere, but they choose to be here. And who benefits from that? Our students. And the state as a whole, because these students graduate with a huge margin of difference. And frankly, if they've come out of, you know, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, I don't think people in Wisconsin, because you grow up with it, realize how great the UW system is. Having spent my career in Minnesota, I can tell you Minnesota's tried to catch the UW system for 50 years. Hmm. They can't catch it. I will tell you, in the last couple of years, they've gone a long way. They're catching up quickly. And once you lose your position, once you start to slide, it's really hard to reverse that. It could take decades and far more money to try to get back to where we were once you start to slip. What we've had is a sacred obligation to maintain that excellence. UW-Eau Claire celebrates its centennial. We kick it off in 2 weeks at our commencement. We have an obligation to honor the work of the people that came 100 years before us to make sure our institutions remain as good, in fact, even better than the way we found them. And that's become more challenging.
We've got full phone lines. Keep trying, folks. I'm going to work through some calls here in just a bit. The number to call in, 800-228-5615. Real quickly, Bob Meyer at UW Stout mentioned accreditation was an issue. Is that an issue at with reserves what they are now at UW Stout? Was that an issue, accreditation? Very quickly.
We all have accreditation visits that are coming up on a regular basis for the institution as a whole, as well as for individual departments. You must be financially viable. Look at the schools that have gone under all across the country. So accrediting agencies are looking carefully at the viability. I don't think we're teetering on that point,
okay. But
we are expected to have funds set aside for rainy days. Frankly, if you look at the overall cash the system has, we have the equivalent of about 6 or 7 weeks worth of cash flow system-wide, even if we tap all our housing funds and everything. Hmm. And by state constitution, we're not allowed to borrow money without the authorization of the legislature. Think of private businesses that aren't allowed to have a line of credit at a bank. So we're not in the situation, the institutions in Illinois, where they've just run out of cash. But we also, good, prudent business practice is to be able to have a few weeks' worth of income just to manage the cash flow. Money comes in at the start of fall, the beginning of spring, when students pay their tuition, and yet payroll and all of our costs go year-round. So having some cash flow is terribly important.
Dean Van Gallen, UW-River Falls has accreditation come into issue since the cuts.
It hasn't, but this is really an important point because you hear UW system has over $1 billion in funds, and you get down to the details, as has been discussed. Most of those funds on the campuses are not very flexible. At UWRF, for our tuition reserve account, that would enable us to operate less than 2 months. And so I think the public needs to understand what those balances are and are not and how inflexible they are.
Now to the phones, we go to Star Prairie. Melanie, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to get the chancellor's opinion on this issue and just kind of step back and look at the big picture. What is the purpose of, it's clear what damage is being done. As a retired teacher, I can see that. I understand the need for education beyond high school. What has been the Wisconsin legislators' intentions, both sides, of cutting all this? What is their alternative plan? Is there something to replace this? I truly don't understand what is their objective, because there's no other alternative being offered right now. So,
all right, Melanie, thanks so much for that. That's a question seeking a chancellor to understand what's going through a lawmaker's mind.
It comes down to choices. I've said that higher ed is typically everyone's fourth priority. I spoke to the business community this year. Republicans have a list of priorities. Democrats have a list of priorities. Everyone tends to say they support higher ed, but we're number four. And the state has frankly only been able to afford to get to maybe their top priority or maybe top two. And so I've asked, frankly, higher ed tends to be a little more bashful. We see the value in a lot of things that we do in society. But I've asked the business community and others to say, this is the year I'm asking you to make the UW funding your number one priority. $250 million, which was cut, it was the equivalent to the property tax cut that happened last year.
Sure.
I'm not saying property taxes shouldn't be cut. I'm just saying it's a choice. So I think it actually ended up being about $250 million on the button. So it's about choices. Where do we put them? I think it would have been a better investment in the UW system, but other people disagree.
Do you think that folks in your field, higher education, UW system, can do a better job of selling themselves?
We have to. We have to spell the absolute condition. How many places, again, at UW-Claire, the state dollar is about one for every four that comes in from somewhere else. Where else can you put in a dollar worth of good, get $4 in other people's direct investment in it, and understanding that the whole dollar has about a $5.5 return on the overall investment? It's really phenomenal based on just on the economics of what students earn, let alone the role that our universities play in our regions from a cultural, educational, civic. Blue golds still have a community service requirement. Every blue gold has to put in 32 hours. We just had a celebration last week where all of the nonprofits and community came in to celebrate the work that our students are doing. 46% of our blue golds are doing undergraduate research. It's phenomenal. I might point out that most of that research is being led by faculty members who are doing that over and above a full teaching schedule. They're doing it because they love the students. They're committed to their success. I think I can speak for all the chancellors. Our faculty members who are here are running through walls if it means doing something good to help a student in their success. This is the time of year, by the way, that we're all celebrating the accomplishments of a full year. It makes it all the more difficult as we have it go into this conversation. We see the great good that's happening every day as we celebrate our commencements.
Back to the phones. Sue in Elk Mound, you're on the air.
Thanks. First of all, I've attended all three of these institutions,
so thank you
all for your hard work. One misconception that I hear in the general population is that with the budget cuts and with administrative positions being eliminated and teaching positions, I often hear people saying, well, obviously they didn't need all those people anyway. And I want to just make sure that people understand that when positions are eliminated, the work that those people were doing isn't eliminated. There is nobody sitting around doing nothing that can be eliminated. And so that another impact is that the workload on the people who are working has increased tremendously. And I just want that misconception to be cleared up.
All right. Thanks for that, Sue. And now let's take our final call. We've got wide open phone lines again. John and Eau Claire, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Nice to hear the program. I think, you know, that the budget crisis in education was a manufactured crisis. There was enough money. There was $250 million to give to the owners of the NBA franchise in Milwaukee for a new stadium, but that same amount was cut from the universities. And the reasoning was, well, if we don't give the owners of the Bucks the money, they'll move, and it'll have a dire economic effect. Mm. But you're having a dire economic effect by not giving the money to the university. And I'm not thinking so much of the faculty as I am the students. All that a university diploma is the reputation of that school. If you damage that reputation, if you short shrift it, then that diploma doesn't mean as much. I sent three kids to UW-Madison. You know, we paid some of the tuition, they paid some working jobs, and they took out loans. Mm-hmm. And their loan debt, for some of the kids, my kids, is fairly high. But to my mind, it was worth it because it was going to give them a leg up in the job market. But if we end up with a subpar university system, that diploma isn't worth what it used to be. It's devalued, not just now, but for the foreseeable future. And that's what people need to understand.
All right, John, thanks for those words and for your comments. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call to chime in on this discussion. We're talking about local universities in western Wisconsin, UW-River Falls, UW-Stout, and UW-Eau Claire, how they are faring 1 year after the UW system sustained a $250 million cut at the hands of the state legislature. I'm Rich Kramer. We'll be back with more discussion in just a bit.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. What does that mean? It means that listeners make up the single largest piece of our budget. It means that WPR programming simply wouldn't be the same without listener donations. If you enjoy WPR programs but have never donated, change that today. Make a difference. Make a donation at WPR.org. Thank you.
Support for WPR comes from Wasco Windows, a Wisconsin-based manufacturer of European tilt-and-turn windows and doors. Wasco is a WPR Business Cornerstone sponsor, providing innovative multi-year funding for future programming.
Tuesday Night Blues returns for the eighth season to Owen Park in Eau Claire beginning May 31st. It's a community-friendly 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. event. In addition to live music, visitors enjoy food and craft vendors as well. Details online at ChippewaValleyBlues.com.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio stations 88.7 in River Falls and 88.3 in Menominee, Eau Claire. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Next week, we're going to be talking about addiction in western Wisconsin and the treatment options for people in need. That is next week on the West Side, next Monday morning. If you missed part of the program today or would like to listen again, check out our online archives. Go to WPR.org, click on the show's link, you'll find the West Side link. And you've got access to years worth of online archives. You can go way back on that. It's really cool. Right now we're talking about higher education in western Wisconsin and what the impact on it is from $250 million in cuts to the UW system that has trickled down in different ways to the different campuses here in western Wisconsin. I'm joined today for the discussion by UW-River Falls Chancellor Dean Van Gallen. UW-Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer is on the phone from his office in Menominee, and UW-Eau Claire Chancellor Jim Schmidt is in the studio with us. 1-800-228-5615. So, and we don't have any lawmakers on the program with us today, but I did want to bring up, you know, some of the comments that they've made. Expenses are going up quite a bit, especially for things like Medicaid. There's less money that they can allocate to whatever it be, whether it be K-12 education, higher education. The lawmakers say that that's one of the biggest problems. You've also got folks that say, you know, the university system needs to trim the fat. We've seen tweets from the governor twice saying that the amount of money going to the UW system is actually going up. Others have said that all these cuts work out to only 2.3% of the entire budget. So I want to get the take the temp from the chancellors on that. I'll start with Bob Meyer. We haven't heard from you for a while, but what do you think when you hear people like the governor talk about or others talk about the 2.3% cut to the UW system? That doesn't sound all that bad.
No, it doesn't sound so bad, but the problem is that it's fuzzy math, and it's not an accurate portrayal of our operating budget. When you start aggregating into the budget the financial aid flow-through that comes from the federal government, as Chancellor Schmidt had pointed out, there are many things that we have no discretion over that flow through our budget. They're counted in the final budget number, and they inflate the number so that the percentage of discretionary cut that you're taking looks lower. But at that 2.3% level, you're including all of the federal financial aid that
you can't even
touch. Now with direct lending laws that we have to manage. So I think it's quite frankly a misleading number. As we mentioned, depending on how you look at our direct discretionary operating budget, for Stout, the reduction in state aid amounted to about 11%. You could look at another way, and if you eliminate things that we can't control, like payment of debt and other aspects like utilities that were mentioned previously, it's actually about 20% of our operating budget, our discretionary operating budget. So I think that percentage is very misleading. You know, another thing that I'd like to say is I think Chancellor Schmidt mentioned that it's all about choices, and I think that's very true. We're in a position where we have the ability to transform lives and prepare individuals for the new economy, which is really based on innovation. And that's one of the things that the university system, I think, can really help reposition the state in terms of innovation and in terms of economic growth. If we just take, we survey all of our students as they leave. If I look back at the last graduating class from last year, we surveyed them all, 85% response rate. 97.3% of those students were either employed or intentionally going on to school. That's an outstanding employment rate. And if we look at the students that were employed and the incomes that they reported that they were receiving, they had the last graduating class alone had a $51 million impact on the local economy. That's just the salaries that they earn. Economists would say that would probably at least double in terms of the economic impact in the community as it ripples through. So over a $100 million impact on the local communities. And most of our students that graduate from River Falls, from Stout, from UW-Eau Claire, they're going to be placed relatively locally. So you're talking about a huge economic impact as a choice to the state. How do we want to invest our funds? These are very difficult decisions I know our lawmakers need to make. They're dealing with, you know, restricted revenues, trying to balance budgets as we are at the universities. But if you're choosing to generate job growth and you're choosing to try to grow the number of businesses that are out there that are generating jobs, the investment in the university system is an outstanding investment. And, you know, I think if you look at the institutions that are on the program today, we're delivering the goods. So I'd have to say there's an overall frustration with the lack of recognition that's there in terms of the contributions that are being made to the state.
Now, Chancellor Schmidt, what about the chart that Governor Walker was he had posted twice on Twitter that showed the total dollars going to the UW system was actually up, higher than it's ever been.
Well, I think it's important to be careful of the language. Going to is one of those issues. So the governor did, you know, it's true the size of the overall university budget is larger than it's been. But the problem is I've never seen a state that actually counts the federal student loan money that goes to students. So if, let's say, Rich, you took out a $10,000 federal student loan, by law, the money comes to the institution to be processed and dispersed. But it's your money. You have to pay back the $10,000. Now, if I take your money and use it to pay for an accounting professor, and then I say, by the way, you still have to pay back the $10,000, and you still owe me $8,800 in tuition. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a out of a $6.2 billion budget, $1.2 billion is federal student aid. That's not my money. I can't take it. There's $618 million in federal research grants that are contractually obligated. Most of that's going to Madison. But they, Becky Blank, can't take that money and use it to hire a chemistry teacher. Mm-hmm. We have $548 million in corporate research grants. I think people would be really upset if we signed a contract with a corporation to do research and we used it for some things that weren't doing that. $2.5 billion to pay for all of the student housing, to pay for our student unions. Stout has a great laptop program. So those are all fee-for-services. Students pay and get something in return. When you add in things like debt service, and we're grateful for the state support for that, but we can't choose to not pay the debts on our buildings. It's really just a pass-through. So part of it's just the accounting. When it all boils down, the general fund for the system is less than $1 billion. That's what the $250 million came from, not this bigger amount of money. So while the governor and others are telling the truth, it really doesn't tell the story.
Gotcha. Now, we're getting close to the top of the hour, but recently faculty across the state have made news. Started with UW-Madison, the faculty there drafted a resolution and passed a resolution that declared no confidence in the UW System Board of Regents, and that was also including UW System President Ray Cross. Now, that idea has spread to other universities. And they're mostly upset, I believe, with the changes in tenure and shared governance. So, Dean Van Gallen, last week, faculty at UW River Falls approved a vote of no confidence against the UW Board of Regents and Ray Cross. Was this a productive response to the changes in tenure? Or what do you think about what the faculty decided to do at River Falls?
Well, I can't speak for a faculty senate, but I think it does reflect certainly frustration over the changes in tenure policy that have occurred, shared governance, and I think also this general environment of a sense of a lack of valuing higher education and educators. And it is a very difficult time on our campus, and I think that was how our Faculty Senate decided to express their concerns over those specific issues and some, some larger kind of climate issues. To your earlier question, I think it is critical that all of us do a really effective job of advocating for the university, explaining to the public our value, the truth on some of these issues, such as fund balances. So I understand their frustration.
And tomorrow, UW-Eau Claire's faculty is going to take their turn. They're going to vote on a resolution that would, if approved, it would be a vote of no confidence against the Regents and Ray Cross. Jim Schmidt, do you think that this could cause blowback from voters or from lawmakers that had made these cuts?
Well, certainly it's hard to predict what the impact of actions are, and particularly with matters like this. This is in the purview of the faculty and staff to make their decision, and I make it a habit not to interfere with their deliberative process. I really haven't been having conversations on campus. I think the real issue is this is a symptom of decades worth of reductions, And, you know, the cuts are bad enough, but frankly, the rhetoric has gotten raised. And frankly, I'm looking for how can we cool off the rhetoric so we can actually get down to solving problems. And I think this is an outgrowth of the frustration that our faculty and staff have. And we've talked about budget, perceived adjustments to tenure and other things. So I can understand why people are upset, and I guess I can understand why these actions are being taken. Candidly, I think President Cross has done a good job in a very difficult situation.
Jake Rassi, UW-Eau Claire student body president, echoed those sentiments that, you know, Ray Cross and the Regents are basically, he said, doing the best with what situation they are presented. But he also mentioned that if approved, if the faculty at UW-Eau Claire approve this vote of no confidence, he said it would be, would show the faculty to be embarrassingly naive. That sounds like a little ramped up rhetoric there.
Yeah, I don't share Jake's feelings about this. Again, I think it's been a really tough, difficult year, yeah. And I think feelings are running pretty high about this. And I want to point out, you know, these are an expression of the faculty and staff's thoughts about a situation.
Right.
I'm frankly hoping we can cool down the rhetoric, and it's difficult when you go into an election year, and I'm hoping that we can get to far more productive conversations with the legislature and the governor's office.
Dean Van Gallen, I'll go back to you. We're just about out of time. Where do we go from here? What needs to be done in terms, I mean, is it as simple as throwing more money at the UW system, or, you know, if you had it your way, if you had a, you know, magic wand, where would you start?
Well, certainly funding is important, and we look to the next biennial budget to hopefully have a reinvestment in higher education in the state of Wisconsin, as well as thoughtful setting of tuition, because those are the two sources that enable us to do our core mission. I think in the end, this is an opportunity for the citizens of Wisconsin to step back and reflect on the tremendous value, I think, that higher education brings to this state.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your discussion. I was joined this hour by UW-Eau Claire Chancellor Jim Schmidt, UW-Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer, and UW-River Falls Chancellor Dean Van Gallen. Thanks for the great discussion. Thanks to the listeners who called in with their questions and comments. Next week, as I mentioned before, we'll talk about addiction and addiction treatment right here in western Wisconsin. Have a safe and productive week. I'm Rich Kramer. We'll chat again next Monday morning.